All right, Ephesians. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3 and follow up a little bit with what I was thinking about Sunday. With the mystery. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, and these are the Gentiles that are outside a covenant, these are the Gentiles that had no hope and without God in the world, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, not by promise. And I want you to reference that, if you haven't, to Acts 13, 23. Turn there for just a minute to get that reference. Yes. 23. In Acts 13:23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise. You see the promise there? Over here, it's not by the promise. It's how? By the gospel. Well, the entry, when you think about it, and I've thought about this a lot, and by the way, I don't know. Hello?
I did.
All right.
Well, I turned it off. Try it now.
Check. 1, 2. For God so loved the world. Okay. Well, yep. It's the effects. Take the effects off. Hello? That did it. Had us in a small auditorium. I was preaching to 12,000. It was empty. Sunday, I heard something. And I thought about people and how people are. Fascinating. I don't want to preach on what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach on this. Been on my mind all day. There is a strange teaching in the church that when you die, you go to heaven. How many believe that? When you die, you go to heaven, if you're saved. How are you committed? What?
I did.
She said, I did. I mean, think about what I'm talking about for just a minute, and then I'm going to enter the story. Because it's where all the false doctrines come from. And it fascinated me after I started thinking about it. Can anybody in the audience, and I'm going to put my phone up, so if you guys are on the thing. What? On the internet. Did I say thing?
Yeah, you said thing.
On the thing. The internet thing. If you want to send me a passage in it. Let me do it this way. I thought about it kind of like this. Here's the cross. This is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last basic 3 years or 3.5 years of his ministry. In that period of time, can anybody give me a verse, one verse that says when you die, you go to heaven? Can you give me one? Now listen, you gotta understand, everybody's teaching out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You went to a Baptist church and you heard that you died and you went to heaven out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You went to a Baptist church and you heard Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that you went to heaven. Give me one single verse in the Bible that tells me that when I die, I go to heaven.
Well, I use in my Father's house of many mansions, if we're not so, I would have told you.
Yeah, but that mansion is where? It's the new city. That's the new city. It's on this earth. It's the pearly gates. It has nothing to do with heaven. You all understand? No.
There's a gentleman out
there. But I mean, but that's the point, is it really, isn't it?
There's an author out who's got a book out called 90 Minutes in Heaven.
Well, that's what brought up this whole conversation.
He swears he's
bad. Now, hold it just a second. I mean, here's a guy that was at First Baptist Church giving a speech about how he spent 90 minutes in heaven. And you know what I believe? I believe he's a liar.
There's only one man that spent time in heaven. Paul.
I don't even believe Paul spent time in heaven.
He went to paradise.
He, whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell. I mean, you cannot prove by that verse that Paul went to the third heaven. You would have to make an assumption that that's how everybody gets there. Now, I do believe in resurrection. Now, we're not talking about resurrection. Resurrection is different. Y'all understand? Resurrection is what Israel's promised. And they were never promised heaven. Ever. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until hell froze over, which it's never going to do, you would realize that there isn't one single place, not one time, that anybody that was an Israelite went far above all heavens. Not one time. So where'd you get the doctrine from? You believe that, didn't you? Can you prove it to me? I mean, we've actually had arguments about it. I started thinking this starts to get to be silly. Do you die and go to heaven? Give me the verse. And the only one you can come up with is to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, but the Lord's omnipresent, so that rules that out. And why would there be multiple needs of resurrection? When God in its intentions have always resurrected. Look at Ezekiel 37.
Lord.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean heaven.
Maybe.
I mean, that's he's omnipresent.
So that would mean that I'm not present with him now. If being absent is present.
Well, he's in you, so yes, you actually have him.
Well, there'd be no need for the statement.
Well, there is a statement, and I can probably show you how that I see how it works. Ezekiel 37. That's the resurrection. Notice these people are not going in to heaven. Ezekiel 37. And notice this, that it is a national resurrection. Okay, it's a national resurrection. Now, do I believe that they're going to heaven?
No.
What do I believe about Israelites? They're going to be raised up, and they're going to become a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek.
They're going to be born again.
They're going to be born again from the dead. You got it? Now that's what I believe. I can prove that. Okay? I can never prove. So here, we went to these churches, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, die, go to heaven. Show me one verse in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you heard that all your life, and why we're convinced of it is we've heard it so often that we're convinced of it. And so instead of applying Bible doctrine, we're hearing hearsay, and so this guy comes along and says, I spent 90 minutes in heaven, and they made a big deal about this in the paper. And you know what? One of the people of our church was like, well, I'd like to go hear someone who's been to heaven.
Somebody that I work with went there and he said, you need to go see him and we talked to him. He said he was great.
Unbelievable.
And
so all of a sudden now, because Terry believes they go to heaven when you die, this guy's got a legitimate case saying, hey, I've been there and done that. So now what are you going to believe? Did he get a further revelation?
Why did he come back?
You said Paul went to the third heaven. That would be your argument. He came back. Well, now you're starting to get into the doctrine that I'm going to try to teach. But that's a problem, you see. You know, and we're supposed to be rooted and grounded and established, not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. How does Missy know whether it's true or not? No, by the Word of God.
That's right.
Not whether he has the right doctrine. He can have the right doctrine and still be a liar. The Word of God is never going to change. And I started thinking, where have I ever really noticed a time that someone dies and goes to heaven? Other than I've heard it hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times, and I started thinking, okay, out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where they got that doctrine, where is it? And this is the closest thing I can come to it. One, it's a national resurrection. It's for the nation of Israel. And it's for a very specific reason. Then we're going to get to the body in just a minute. Now, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, verse 1, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Didn't say in heaven. But that ye shall what? And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and the bones to his bones. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus say to the Lord, saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, and as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they what? They lived. See, I believe in resurrection. I believe in life after death. But Israel isn't going to heaven, guys. Israel is going to be a kingdom of priests. Go to Exodus 19.
You know, it says where it says that they know him. You know how we all are, you know, when a child's born, the older, we all have it in us. The knowledge of God, you know, enough in us to acknowledge Him. Even if we say we know that there's a God, that we have a sense of knowing that He's there. You know, I feel like that's what He meant there.
Well, they'll know him in a personal way in just a minute. I'm going to show you. But
just a living person, but also the knowledge.
Well, I think you are born with a basic understanding that there's something beyond us. I do believe that. And yet, we don't know what it is, and we try to figure it out. That's part of our dilemma, I guess. But look in Exodus 19. Now watch this. Verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob. Who's that? That's the 12 tribes. And tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you upon eagle wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure upon me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of what? Priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of what? Israel. So they are going to be the priests of God. Their hope, their calling, their plan for God, what God has planned for them, is to be a priesthood in this heavenly city called Jerusalem. Now, that's the idea that heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That heaven coming down is that new city Jerusalem, which Israel, once it's landed, might think about it. There's a ladder to get in, Jacob's ladder, and they'll walk up into that city from the earth and be the priest, and they will minister from the fountains that come out of that city, and they'll minister to the Gentiles. You got it? The hope of their calling. There is no reason for them to go far above all heaven. Why? That's not where the ministry is. Who's far above all heavens? The church. We don't need. There's no need for the priest. Just like there was no need for Paul if the message that Paul and Peter preached was the same. No need. They had 12 men. You're telling me those 12 men couldn't get it done, that it took another one? What do you think, Missy? I mean, they had 12. That 12 couldn't do it? The fact that they call Paul tells you that there's something uniquely different that was necessary. Amen? Why? The 12 represent a priesthood. Paul is not part of a priesthood. Yes, ma'am.
The 12 were supposed to not go to the Gentiles.
Where?
The 12 were not to go in the way of the Gentiles.
That's true. Early on and later they do. Why? Because the Gentiles is the ministry, isn't it? What are their jobs? To turn those Gentiles as servants of the Most High God. And so in the kingdom, you had that 1,000 year, remember the 1,000 year reign here. Before that, what are they doing? Those Gentiles go into the kingdom, they're in physical bodies. They need to get to those trees. They're not in heaven, they didn't resurrect, they have to be alive to get into that kingdom to take of the tree.
Physical description of what anything looks like is what all people most people's concept is what's inside the holy city.
That's it.
And that's an earthly king.
It's part of the earthly kingdom.
That's where we don't really know what
the streets of gold is. Jeff, how about the pearly gates? But notice the city. Go to Revelation 22. Notice a couple things about the city. Where do we get this stuff? It's just made up. It's just fabrications of human. This guy didn't go up any more to heaven than my dog is going.
We don't know what heaven looks like.
Well, he's going to. If you'll go, he tells a description of it. According to.
He's got the revelation.
I guess.
One thing you said was
pearly gates. When I read that about the pearly gates, I said, uh-oh.
And they're inviting him to locusts, the churches.
That's the point. How do you guys know whether it's true or not? I mean, this guy stands up and says it. I mean, there are people in this room right now that believe that when you die, you go to heaven. Well, then you got to allow him the right to say he died and went to heaven. Amen? I mean, if that doctrine fits your mind, I say it doesn't fit mine.
I say he didn't die. He came back.
They pronounced him dead. 90 minutes. Well, go listen to him because he'd call you a liar. He said, I know what I did. I'm just telling you. Huh?
He's written four books.
Four books. He's an expert.
So he couldn't die if he came back.
According to the doctor's flatline.
Doctors are liars too.
I'm just telling you. How do you know? Well, then all you got is the argument whether the doctors are true or not. And I'm going to show you doctrinally that it's impossible. Oh, Josie Smith talked to an angel from heaven. Trance? Oh, yeah, I don't know about all that. I don't know. What I do know is the Word of God. And all I can stick to is what the Word of God says. That's it. I can't assume anything beyond that. Okay? Period. All right? Let's try Revelation 21. A verse we use quite often. In the passage that we're about to read about heaven. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sign. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Who is that husband?
Jesus.
Well, yes. Israel. They're part of the bridegroom. They're all involved in the ceremony. As in the parables of Matthew 25. You might want to put that there. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. I want you to put Hebrews. Hold on to here and go to Hebrews 7, I believe it is. Nope, I'm sorry. Well, you can just kind of loop it good. It's Hebrews 8.
Yeah, well, I have a white out here, so make 8 out of that 7.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Pretty good. 8 verse 10. Now watch this. For this is my covenant that I will make with the house of who? Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a what? That's Revelation 21. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Why? They're born again. Why? They're after the order of Melchizedek. Go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people would receive law, what further need would there be of another priest? Should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, there is a made of necessity a change also of the law. But hold it, what happens if we could get an eternal priesthood that never died? Guess what would happen? It would never go up and down, good priest and bad priest. You understand? Because the ones that would be born again would be what? A perfect priesthood. After the order of who? Melchizedek. Come on down in the passage. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like stones most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had walls great and high, and 12 gates. Why do you think 12 gates, Missy? 12 tribes. Boy, put that in your Bible. Amen. It's for the 12 tribes. Now watch. And the names were written thereupon in the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 on the east gates. I mean, who is this city for? Why? There are a priesthood. What is this place? It's the temple of God. Who's the light thereof? Christ is the light thereof. They're not going to heaven. They're ministering here on earth. And when that thing descends, their ministry will start. You got it? Their hope. Now, go to Ephesians. Your hope.
What do they think they're
going to do? Who? Now?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think they have a clue what's going on. You know more about Israel than Israel knows about Israel. I don't mean that sarcastically. I mean that legitimately. Y'all understand? You know more what's going to happen to Israel than Israel does. And Israel is just like us right now. If they want to get saved, they got to believe the gospel. They got to trust the King James Bible just like you got to have a moment when you got saved. They got to have a moment when there's no difference between them and us now. Okay, y'all with me? Paul is writing the Ephesian letter to bring about unity. That's what the book is written for. It's interesting, the verbiage. In Ephesians chapter 1, read with me if you will, in verse 15. Ephesians 1, verse 15. This guy didn't go to heaven because our hope hadn't come about yet. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you and make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And this is the line I want you to get your Bible pen out. Here I want you to underline. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is His calling? The church being raptured. The church being raptured. One event. And He doesn't say it's going to be happening time and time again. This is what He says. And see, here's the problem, because people questioned the resurrection. And Paul answers that question. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. How many hopes are there?
One.
I believe there's only one exit plan. One. It doesn't matter. If you're in the body, you got one hope of your calling. One hope. Then like you're going to go, and then if you don't make it, you get to pray through purgatory. There's a few people that believe that. Right? The Roman Catholic. You go to a holding place. Why? You haven't quite got to heaven, so now you can get prayed out of there and whatever. And then you got others that say you go to heaven, and this guy says, hey, I went not only to heaven, but I came back. And he said, so did Paul. But see, I can't tell whether Paul went. The way he verbiages that, he couldn't answer it himself. Go to 2 Corinthians.
He did say, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such one cause
of the... He could have been in a trance. He didn't know what was going on.
Whether it was in the body or out of the body, such one was caught up in the third heaven. Whether he was caught up physically or...
Whether he died, we don't know. There's no way to make a determination. And not only that, but he told us that he was going to come visions and through things of the Lord. He did tell us that. But by the passage, he can't tell. And when he's caught up to the third heaven, was it in a trance? Was it in reality? Was it in a physical body? Or whether it was out of the body? I mean, you all understand what resurrection is.
Separation of the body from the...
That is what resurrection is. So, okay, let's say Paul's body is laying there, and he comes out of it like the movies all project, right? There is another body necessary to clothe that body. Never mentions that. Not here. According to the Word of God, they wouldn't want to stand around naked, so God is bringing them houses made in the heavens, not with hands, or without hands. You all understand? Now watch. He says, it's not expedient, verse 1, it's not expedient for me doubtless, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, I mean, come on, you've got to debate the issue in your mind. Kay was like, man, I want to hear that guy. Well, what happens if she gets sucked into that? And she starts listening to the guy and he just rambles on when there's other issues I'm going to deal with in just a minute, why it couldn't be as well. But everybody, how many people here heard of people getting sucked in by that? Or read it in the paper? A lot of us.
And in fact, Barry... one of the television stations here had a thing Saturday night. Excuse me. The question he asked, so he went to a Jewish synagogue, he went to a Muslim, he went to a four different, you know, how do you get to heaven? And every one of them gave the answers. And I've got it saved on my T-Bow.
How do you get to heaven?
I want you to come see it. I want you to see it. And then, you know, I watched it quickly. But I T-bowed it just for you, so you need to come over and watch that.
Okay. I mean, he may not even know the gospel. I have no idea. But even if he knew the gospel, he didn't get to heaven. Verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Say that. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and had and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now hold it. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 for just a minute. Verse 4, verse 3. If so be being clothed, we shall not be found what?
Naked.
For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by... So the things you see doesn't count. It doesn't matter. It would not matter to me if all of a sudden in this room appeared Jesus Christ in the middle of this room. That might freak you out. And may freak you out. but it wouldn't change my doctrine. Y'all understand? Because I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith of what I read. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Y'all understand? Wouldn't matter if he showed up and just poof right in the middle of the room and said, I'm Jesus Christ. I said, I don't know who you are, but I know you're not Jesus Christ. Why? Why would I know that that wouldn't be Jesus Christ? The only place we'll get to see him is when the calling of our hope catches us up and we meet him where? Amen. But more than that, give me another proof text. Colossians chapter 1.
Paul was the last one to see him alive.
That's right. Go to Colossians. That's the doctrine. The second coming. We're going to meet him where? And his first time, his feet are going to stand on the mount. Ezekiel 14 verse 4. Right there. Absolutely. That's when it's going to happen. So if something appeared here, would you go by your sight? I could go by the Word of God and prove that it wasn't Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, Paul was one of the, he was the last one to see the Lord, and he fulfilled the Word of God. Look at what he says. Verse 24. Colossians 1, 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, that you fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. Well, come on. He fulfilled it. You know what the word fulfilled means? Complete. Look at what he said in Timothy. Go to Timothy. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse, well, I'm just going to start in verse 3. What? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Well, come on. Was he the one to testify of the last time in due time? Yes, he's in due time. Where's that other passage? He says, and last of all, he was seen of me. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Either Paul was telling the truth and the Word of God is right, or people are seeing Jesus all the time when they go to heaven. How many times have you heard of people going down and they die and they see the light and Jesus gives them a special message and they bring the special message back? I bet I've heard that 15, 20, 30 times. All of us have heard it on the TV, and they publicize it and they make a big deal out of it. You know why? It distracts or takes away from the written word of a King James Bible, where you won't believe your Bible. You'll believe these fables and these stories before you will believe the Word of God. And that's exactly what the devil wants done. Time to quit playing church. You know what? You don't die and go to heaven. You die and you go to sleep and you wait until there's a shout and the voice of the archangel and in the trump of God, what happens? The dead in Christ shall what?
Rise first.
And then we which are alive and caught up.
Well, then they haven't risen.
That's right. They're still waiting.
I believe that Paul and Barry are going up in the rapture. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. I believe Jonathan, my son, and I will go up together. I believe the church, the body of Christ, is having one hope of His calling. And that doctrine, because they started believing that you die and go to heaven, show me a passage. They're teaching it out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That doctrine couldn't fit there.
Well, it does say it says the dead in Christ will rise
first.
Okay, so we ain't going up together.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes, it does say together. Yeah. Go to 1 Thessalonians.
Together with them, and so shall we.
Now watch, yeah, look at this. This is important. Yeah. We're caught up together. Right. Not caught up before, and then we'll catch up with them later.
So rise first don't mean rise first.
Oh, yes, it means out of the grave. What it means is the dead are going to stand up, and the ones that are alive are going to be changed and meet the Lord in the air. Watch this. I mean, but hey, that's all right. Go ahead and believe the other doctrine. Do you believe that now?
No.
Wake up. It ain't in the Bible that way. Where do they get it? I'm just telling you guys, it's weird. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 15. It says, 1 Thessalonians 4, the hope. It's one event. Just like the resurrection for Ezekiel is one event. Y'all understand? So is the resurrection of the church. Here it is. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this cause, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, if they're already there, how could we prevent them? The fact that we could prevent them means they're still in the ground. You can't prevent, no, why even make the statement if they're already there? It's like, hey, they're there, safe. But look what it says. Well, let me show you. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Here's the Lord. He's descending right there. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? When they hear that shout, it seems to me that those that we would prevent can't be prevented. Why? They're going to rise first. Now watch. Then we which are alive and remain, now watch this, watch the wording, shall be caught up together. Well, how do you get caught up together if they're already there? You'll catch up with them later, but you're not being caught out. The caught out, that term caught out is the rapture. That the term rapture doesn't exist in the Bible. The caught up is the rapture. It isn't like you're going to catch up with them later.
Caught up together too.
You all understand? You're caught up. The word caught up is the rapture. You understand? Rapture isn't in the Bible. The one hope of your calling is what? Being caught up. Well, then they don't need the rapture. If they're already up there, why would they need the rapture?
They don't. Those that are alive, they don't.
How can you be caught up together with them? You wouldn't be together. You'd be caught up and then together. But you're not caught up together. If I said, Missy, me and you walk through the door together, what does that mean to you? Carlton, if I said we're going to walk to the bathroom together, what does that mean? Are you going to be at the bathroom and we're going to meet? Guys, listen, words mean something.
Another point is you're meeting
the Lord in the air. Both groups are meeting Lord in the air.
If they're already in the air, they don't have to meet them in the air. They're already there. We would join them in the air. That would be the right terminology. The point is there's people that are saying that they are dying and going to heaven every day.
Is that to meet the Lord in the air?
My point is, what does it matter? I mean,
because if there is a death and go to heaven, death, go to heaven, then this guy has a legitimate claim to the Lord.
Because we're talking about him.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Just change the gospel.
And all I'm trying to tell you
change the hope.
Is that everything is now off kilter. But we learn that doctrine as Baptists in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that doctrine never existed there. And you would, even if you were as strong as Terry and really sticking your neck out, you'd have a hard way. You'd have to argue it hard. You'd have to argue it hard. Okay?
Hey, Barry.
So that doctrine wouldn't have been so flippantly the doctrine.
Any doctrine you stand for, if you want to believe it, you better know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but listen, the point is.
Standing on what you're saying, I mean, and I'm not.
I'm just saying there's one hope of your calling.
Amen. I believe the same thing.
And I believe it's the catching up. And in that, that eliminates all these people that have died and gone to heaven and saw Jesus. It eliminates all the garbage that you have. Why? How many hopes is there for the church? The church is being resurrected. Not you. You're just a part of it. You're a collective. You're not even an individual. It is the church, the vow. Hey, we're going to put off these vow bodies and we're going to be one united group. Not in the heavens. We're going to meet the Lord as that group. One single individual group. It's not multiple people. It's one body. And that's the doctrine. So this guy visits heaven. Gets the paper stirred up. He's spoken at four or five different churches. And he is persuading thousands of people what he said was true. I've never heard him. But I'd go by the doctrine before I'd go by anything he said. Huh? He was caught up. His rapture already happened. And he came back. That's what he said.
Why would God be that cool?
Huh?
You've got these people walking around saying, I'm Jesus. All of them, that's all that too.
Oh, all of that. And the point that I'm making is the church has a single hope. Just like Ezekiel had a single hope. And that single hope, hello? Okay, hold on just a second.
Hello?
Can it wait about 10 minutes? All right, well, call me when you're done. But you got the answer, right? Okay, well, It'll be what it is. All news is okay with me. All right, love you, sweetie. Bye-bye. Closest she's been to being in church in a long time, that was Jamie. Now, the hope of your calling. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. We didn't go there, did we? Yeah, we need to do that.
Well, Paul says, such one caught up in the third heaven. He says, whether in the body, outer body, I cannot tell. God knows.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just been having, it was just a vision. He don't even know whether or not it was just a vision.
Well, what's the line that he uses right before that? What's the line right before that? He actually clarifies that. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
Well, that's what
I'm saying. Absolutely.
You don't know whether...
I can't tell.
He knows it was him.
And he knows where.
You don't know if he really went or if it was a vision.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm yeah. You know. So, I mean, that's the other.
My point is that goes to prove that Paul himself, I mean, you could say for sure by this verse here that he himself went.
Well, no, I can't.
No, but I'm saying that this guy that's saying.
No, that's true, and that's my point. But at the same time, you can't prove that he went to heaven either. And if this is the only really place that you can say, well, he went to the third heaven and came back, well, he may be using that doctrine of Paul to say, hey, that fits me. Y'all understand? And so then I've got to think, okay, well, what is the church's hope? It's the catching up.
But the thing where Paul says, last of all, seeing me as one born out of due time.
But hey, come on. He wrote that, and then he died and went to heaven.
Yeah. It's not even, it's just a revelation or a vision.
Yeah, he's not sure what it is.
What's the verse that says he dwelleth in the light of which no man can approach, no man has seen nor can see?
I know the verse, but I can't think of what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, let's not get off on the point here. I want to make this very, very simple. Watch this. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 for just a minute. Now, the question of 1 Corinthians 15 is resurrection. Y'all understand? That's the whole issue of 1 Corinthians 15, is resurrection. We're not going to make it. We're like 2 minutes before the time. Gosh, this is so important. Mainly with this guy going around deceiving people. You guys have got, I mean, you guys have the answer. Do you all understand that? And these people come to you, you ought to sit down and say, hey, that's an impossibility. Let me show you. I mean, his vision and his actual, what he said he saw is taking precedence over the Word of God.
Asking.
Do what?
No one is asking for proof, or no one is asking for.
They're believing them. Is that true? Nobody. The ones that read it in the paper and heard it, I mean, it's pretty amazing. But hold it, nobody knows the Bible well enough to really talk this stuff.
But that's what I'm saying. Like when this is right in front of you, there's no one out there that's asked him or said that. I thought we were all going together, or I thought that we were something.
Well, nobody's probably even thought of the question because they're confused too. That's my point. You grew up in the church. You got saved when you was, 14 or whatever? You believed all your life that if you died, you went to heaven. Right? You believed that.
But to be quite honest, me being partly ignorant to the subject, I never thought whether I went now or later. I just knew I was
going to
go sometime.
No, but how many in here thought when they died that they were a good little boy or girl, they went to heaven? Or even if after they really got saved, that it was the finished work of Calvary. Either or, when you died, you went to heaven. And thought it was instantly. I thought it was instantly. Okay, so I thought that.
That taught me that it's not instantly, but in like a blink of an eye.
It will be. Absolutely. I agree with that. I agree with that totally. You won't know the difference. That is, I believe that's sound doctrine. Okay, I do believe that. I don't believe you instantly go. I do believe it will be instantly as if you went the moment you died. But here's the point that I'm trying to tell you. It's not multiple resurrections. There's one resurrection for the church. You all understand? So this guy telling me that he has an individual resurrection, I have like, whoa, problem with that. You see what I'm saying? Whoa, something's wrong with that. And I believe that. And where did we hear those doctrines? I was a Methodist. I knew nothing about the Bible. You were a Church of Christ. Didn't you believe when you died you went to heaven?
But I would have said God is no respecter of persons.
Well, no, I understand. Some went to hell too. I agree with that. You're Pentecostal. Didn't you believe that?
Absolutely.
So we all believe this, and those people never got out of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So where did they get the doctrine? You ever heard it taught? How many of you have ever heard that you die and go to heaven been taught?
No.
They say the words.
Well, they were talking about the wrong heaven. What is it? When it says, you know, the
beast. Pearly gates?
Well, the New Jerusalem. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yeah.
They're talking about the wrong heaven. They say God is in heaven. They don't realize that.
The kingdom of heaven is on earth. Well, my point. So the doctrine you got of God going to heaven came out of the kingdom message about a city that's going to be here on earth. And you're still convinced that you're going to heaven when you die.
We're all dying on earth.
You see what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. But you know how many people, and why people haven't brought it up? They haven't got a clue what's going on.
I just can't believe that all the people are already seeing that there's not someone, some skeptic that says
that. I guarantee you.
Had an experience just like most people.
Now, hang on. I'm not saying he didn't have an experience. And I didn't say it was real. It might have been very real to him. I'm just saying it couldn't be biblical. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. What were you going to say? Absolutely.
Really vivid dreams.
Oh, me too. Listen, one night I was up in Nashville. After Jonathan died, my sister invited me in. And I had the most incredible dream. Jonathan was alive. I could see tears running out of his eyes and he was holding me. And I woke up crying. I mean really crying. To a stupid pillow. I woke Brenda up and she said, "What's wrong?" It's just like I hugged him in my own arms. I mean, it was so real. And you know what it was? Just my imagination. I'm just telling you, it was so real. Even when I think about it today, it still brings tears to my eyes. I'm not kidding. It moved me. And I've talked to her about that, and I thought, that is the weirdest thing. And the house was flooded. It was kind of crazy. Everything was just a mess. And he said, "Daddy, we'll fix it. Don't worry." Said, "I love you." Boy, I woke up and it was just a dream. But I love that dream. I'd pay to go back to that dream one more time. Just incredible. Hug your kids, that's what I'd say. But I believe he's going to be resurrected the same day I go up. And I believe there's one hope, and I believe it's just as real, and he doesn't have to worry about going, and his sleeping is not going to prevent him. He's going. The shout's going to happen and the what? And you know, I think we need to deal with resurrection next Wednesday. 1 Corinthians 15 is so powerful. And I think it reiterates all of what we're talking about. But the passage I wanted to read was last of all he was seen of me. In verse 8 there, 1 Corinthians 15:8. And last of all, he was seen of me. If he was last of all to be seen of Paul, then nobody's seen Jesus since then until the shout when we will be caught up to meet him in the air. Now, I'm not telling you this to debate Terry. Terry can believe whatever he likes. You can too. But just bring it on with Scripture. And this is the things I would have you to think about. That whole thing about heaven that we heard was the pearly gates and the golden streets is a city that will literally be anchored here on earth. It will be a kingdom. They've been using that for a long, long time. Now let me read one last passage and I'm done. You don't have to turn there. Go to Matthew 15. I'm going to close out here. And I want you to think about this. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You hear that? Who invented it? Some man invented it. They just invented it out of their vainly puffed up minds that you die and went to heaven. And so we've tried to fit the doctrine the whole time because we've heard that so much and heard that so much and heard that so much that our doctrine just has to fit that. But where they got the doctrine was from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which had nothing to do with that doctrine at all. It had to do with the kingdom that was going to be established here on earth. That's why I preached the Ezekiel 37 resurrection first. And he says, "For in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Is that powerful? So where'd they get the whole idea of heaven? How many heard that heaven had gold streets? Pearly gates. And so we've hooked onto that, and we've been hooked onto it ever since we were Baptists and Methodists and Church of Christ and Pentecostals, and we've hung on and hung on like Klingons. All right, I'm done.